This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Stock up with Bud Light for game days and check out Budweiser's limited edition Discovery Reserve. Please drink responsibly.
They're going to run and get that boot.
The Arkansas Razorbacks have completed the dream season.
A baseball team that's on the way back. A College World Series title. Stadium.
I almost got fired because I went Willie the Boss after I had a little too much sauce.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
There's really only one place to start today. There's really only one real thing to get into in this opening segment, and that is yesterday at the Masters, where one of the greatest sports stories you will ever see came to fruition. Tiger Woods won a major. Tiger Woods wins the green jacket. And this is something that we are going to unfold and discuss a lot this morning, because if you're just a sports fan in general, it doesn't get any better than what you saw yesterday. But we had been talking about the Masters and leading into it this past week, and just all the storylines that we were going to be looking forward to, because obviously we all enjoy sports, but we always love the Masters. I mean, the Masters is just next level stuff. That's something that is must-see TV, even if Tiger Woods is not involved in it. It's still something that people, like especially here on the show, love to watch.
Yeah.
But yesterday, on Sunday, when Tiger Woods was in contention, not only our eyes were on the Masters and on CBS, but it certainly felt like every single person on this earth, even though that wasn't the case, every single person on this earth was watching Tiger Woods. Not just sports fans, not just golf fans, just people, just human beings, people who enjoy a great story, watched Tiger Woods win his fifth green jacket in the way he did it. It's been 11 long years since he won a last major, and this one was just about as sweet as it can get when it comes to sports stories.
My wife is not a big sports fan. And yesterday, I mean, she'll watch a game in a social setting. I mean, she doesn't hate sports, but she's just not, doesn't gravitate to that first. Yesterday, she came down and sat next to me on the couch to watch the last three holes, just because she knew this is a big deal. I mean, that's how I know that this is a big moment. Hey, kids, you need to get in here and watch this. This is history. This is a big moment. That's how it went across all the lines yesterday. Not just, I mean, obviously it hit all the P1s, as we call it in the industry, all the sports fans. All your main target was, it was saturated. But it went to the outer rings, and it brought people in yesterday that, you know, because everyone always loves a good redemption story in America.
Without a doubt.
And it was provided yesterday by Tiger Woods. Talk about great comebacks. Golf lends itself to that. Other sports do not lend itself to a, you know, 10-plus year gap. And what was it, 14 years between major victories at Augusta? 11 years between majors. Other sports don't lend them. It'd be very difficult, not impossible, to go 11 years between Super Bowls as a quarterback. It would be very difficult to go 11 years between NBA titles as an NBA superstar. Not impossible, but
unlikely.
Very unlikely. Golf lends itself to be able to win in different decades. His third different major win in a different decade. Golf lends itself the opportunity to do that. So there's just a lot of different layers to it, but it just felt like you said, everyone in America was rooting for Tiger to get this done. Even the golf gods, because at 12, once again, it jumps up, as we've seen Jordan Spieth struggle there in years past. Then yesterday, Molinari, he struggles, puts one in the water, and you knew the door was wide open at that point. And at that point, you know, Tiger, who safely put it on the green, had plenty of aqua lock on the ball, was going to turn this thing around. And one thing's for sure, the Tiger effect, when he's lurking on a Sunday at the top of the leaderboard, it's real and it's still alive.
Yep.
Because guys started folding up.
I mean, Tiger played well. I mean, you have to win a Masters. You have to do the things that he was doing. But there was no doubt that he got some help. And in fact, it was funny because I felt like, you know, some of those golfers that, you know, Brooks Koepka, all those guys, Molinari, they're probably really good guys. They're probably good people. really kind people. But I hated them yesterday, and I hope they failed. That's how I was feeling. I was watching Tiger and just hanging on every shot. But to watch those other guys that were in contention and sit there and pray that they fail, pray that a ball goes out of bounds, that they go in the water, that they completely screw up on a putt. Like, I was hoping for that on every shot that they had.
Really?
I mean, that's how I was. Now, I don't know if that's right. Maybe it's not, but that's how badly I wanted Tiger to win. Yeah. Is because I knew, well, it was like, I don't want to feel good about it until the very end.
How much of Tiger's first days of dominance do you really remember? How much does that still resonate with you? I mean, do you still remember 97? Do you still remember the dominance? What was it, 2000? I mean, how much of the previous four green jackets is stored away in your memory banks?
I would say probably around 2003, 2004 is kind of when I really started actually like getting into golf, or at least watching majors, getting into the Masters probably early in that. So I was probably in the 9th, 10th grade.
So, I mean, I should say, I mean, you're 30.
Yeah.
You're still at an age where, you know, how much of his early days when he really came on the scene were you really paying? I mean, my 9-year-old, he's not paying attention to this stuff. He won't appreciate what happened yesterday. Even though you make him watch some of it, force him, get off the Fortnite, come watch Tiger Woods. Oh, you know. my 7-year-old, she's sitting there watching it. You just don't have the capacity yet to appreciate and understand what you're seeing. So I was just wondering how much appreciation you really had, because that's the thing. A whole generation, I think you're kind of including that, really now has full perspective, has understanding. There was a gap in there of about people that really didn't have the full appreciation. I think people of your age, in their early 30s into their 20s, Ty, I'm sure you're kind of the same way. You'd never really seen Tiger be dominant, see Tiger. And I'm not saying he's dominant. He won a tournament. And it was a major tournament. It was on a huge stage, and I don't think there's a grander tournament in the world to win than the Masters. But that was probably the first time you really got to see and understand what winning the Masters and Tiger Woods was all about.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely, I mean, I don't have your perspective on that. Right. And John doesn't even though he's a few years older than me, it's just not the same watching him early on kind of when he was getting it done.
I just think if you're below probably 37 or 8, something like that, you probably just don't have the full, yesterday brought it all into perspective. Oh, that, aha. Now you really understand. Yeah, you've seen Tiger win a tournament here or there. You've seen the YouTube clips. But now yesterday, you finally fully got to experience what Tiger Woods was really all about.
Well, and
for the first time, because yesterday was different than winning the tournament last year, the Players' Champion, the Tour Championship. It's different, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
As cool as that was, yesterday was totally different. You guys finally got the great opportunity to see what, and I thought yesterday was on another level compared to even other majors, because you expected him going into the week. I mean, it was Tiger of the field. It was even money. Tiger of the field. You know, it wasn't that way this week. So, you know, what a great deal.
Well, the thing is that when I was growing up, you know, every morning getting ready for junior high and high school, you know, you watch SportsCenter. At least I did. You know, you wake up and you're watching SportsCenter. And I remember even going to school in a lot of cases, and sometimes my early classes, our teachers, depending on who they were, would have like SportsCenter on. And that was just something that you watched. And you know, I didn't watch every single move, every single tournament by Tiger Woods. But the one thing that I realized was that Tiger Woods was iconic. You know, it's the same thing with Michael Jordan. Like, Michael Jordan's and his dominance was even before Tiger. But I knew it. I knew all about it because it was just that big of a deal. And he was that legendary. He was that iconic status. And it was the same thing with Tiger Woods, is that even though I only saw maybe a couple of his latest majors, maybe in the, you know, I remember the 05 Masters, and I remember the in 2008 when he won that one. I remember those things. But it was kind of like you just knew about him because of the lore and the legend and the myth of it all, the aura of it all. And then when it all came together yesterday, it was a huge payout.
That's what I'm saying. It's no longer a myth to you. I mean, you really get it?
Yeah.
You
know. Yeah. And that's the thing, is like, you know, you don't understand really what it meant, and unless you just watched that and you saw If you're just somebody who reads people, which I like to do, I like to just read people's, you know, body language and things like that. And you could see Tiger, not only the way he was playing and how he was so focused in on in those final three holes, but also after he won it. And even if you knew nothing of the story, even if you knew nothing of what Tiger went through and what he had to go through to get back to this point, seeing his celebration and his emotion after it happened, you could tell that it was a weight that was lifted off of his shoulders. You could tell that this one meant more than anything to any sports figure you can even imagine.
Especially for a guy that's very guarded with his emotions, yes, very guarded with his words, never really lets you in to know what he's thinking and certainly what he's feeling. And it was a pretty, I mean, I'm going to tell you that the moments following, he shook his playing partner's hands, you know, Molinari and Tony Finau, and then he found his caddy,
mm-hmm,
and they had a great embrace. But then, of course, the moment with the family, if your dad seeing that, I mean, if you didn't get a little bit emotional, if you didn't get that lump in your throat, man,
you're not human.
I don't know how. I mean, I watched it twice because CBS ran back, and you know, when it was over at 2 o'clock or so, they ran an encore, and we just kind of honestly never turned the channel. Kind of had it on, doing some things around the house and cleaning some stuff up outside, and I was cooking dinner, and I came back in, and he was coming up 18 again, and just watching, and then I was kind of waiting around on that, and I was like, I had the same reaction, knowing it was coming.
Yep.
Watching it the second time around, I'm like, you know. And then Nance does what Nance always does, dadgummit. He made Faldo cry earlier in the day with a deal about his son, and then he pulls this prank on Tiger, putting his dad. I mean, I'm like, what are you doing, Nance? You're trying. He's always trying to make everybody cry. and he nearly made Tiger cry on national TV.
It's that voice, man. It's that voice and delivery.
Well, he puts the video up. He goes, well, we're going to put puts the video of him and his father of 97 on the screen in front of Tiger, and then the video of him and Charlie, and I'm like, what are you doing to this man?
You're killing us, Nance.
You are killing Tiger right here. Yeah. You are bringing him to his knees.
Follow the show on Twitter, at HitThatLineAR. You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Now he does a tightrope back. Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're number three, and nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, Hogs! Holy Hogs!
I'm glad I'm not the only one. Brian just tweeted into the show and says that he's with us on the emotions of Tiger win. It's one for the ages and very emotional because, again, like, people thought I was just joking and being cheeky on Twitter yesterday when I said that I was crying. No, I was crying, and I know a lot of other people that were crying, and you can't just watch that and watch the ending of that match and see the emotions running through everybody on the course, to see the reactions that Tiger had with his family. You just can't do it, and it's just, you know, sports very seldom does that, but when it does do that to you, it's something that you'll never forget.
And what is it? I mean, I don't know if you were up at 8 watching, but I was, because I'm generally an early riser anyway, but
I have to be.
It was appointment TV, and I wanted to be there, and the leaders were teeing off at 8:20 our time, so I wasn't going to miss a single shot of the final pairing and the final group. And so I was up and watched, but we were into this thing for basically 6 hours yesterday. I mean, how many other sporting events, football, basketball, but would we be that glued for 6 hours? College football doesn't last that long. NFL doesn't last. I mean, everybody's trying to shorten it. It still comes back to if the content's good, if it's compelling. And I know the Masters is a different animal. You only get it once a year.
Oh, yes.
You'd never watch. Listen, the Valero that was on, the week before or whatever. I don't even know what tournament's next. We ain't watching it for 6 hours. Just not.
No.
There's just something different about the Masters. And you know what? We might not invest 6 hours in the U.S. Open. But we were watching. I watched for 6 hours yesterday, and then some. I mean, I just got to thinking about that yesterday afternoon. That's a lot of time to just spend in front of the you're that hooked, and then to have that kind of crescendo at the end, mm-hmm, that kind of moment. It was exhausting. Emotionally, you felt, I hadn't moved off my couch, but I'm exhausted.
Yeah. Yeah, and then, my horse that I, talked about in Dustin Johnson, he finished second.
He played very well on the back nine.
So, as far as what I was interested in, I was definitely interested in all of it. Let's go to the phone lines. Mike is in Rogers. What's going on, Mike?
Not a lot. I heard John say that he cried when Tiger Woods won, and I was like, I couldn't believe that. I'm like, I thought you were joking at first, but
nope.
That was serious, pretty serious.
Dead serious.
The only time I've ever cried is when Paul Hill died. I remember coming out of the work and turning on, getting in the car and turning on the radio and hearing that. But for sports, I get excited, but I just can't understand crying about when someone wins. I guess I don't get it, but.
Well, did you watch it yesterday in full? Like, did you watch it?
Oh, no, I don't watch golf. I couldn't watch golf to save my life. So.
Well, okay.
But, I watch a lot of sports.
So you weren't invested in it,
No, no, no. I wasn't invested in it. I watch a lot of sports. And I guess, like the Razorbacks, in the last year when the pop-up fly. I bet people were crying, but, it's one of those things, I get totally invested. I'm really invested in the Razorbacks, but I don't know if I'd ever cry. But anyway, I just thought you were joking at first, but.
Nope, dead serious.
I guess not.
appreciate the phone call, Mike. Everyone's different.
As a father watching, I know you're not a father yet in life. Someday you will be. I think you even viewed that moment with Tiger and his kids on another level. That really only and I think sons can view that and think about a moment like that in their life with their dad. But as a father, you viewed that moment differently than you would just as a sports fan. When he was with the family there behind the 18th green. There was just so much because I think it connected with everyone on some level.
Yeah. And then when they re-showed the video from when he hugged his dad, who his dad wasn't even supposed to be there because of the health issues that he was going through. It's when he's supposed to be there. So when you compare it and just to show how long it's been and the generations that it goes along with, it's just one of those special moments that happen. And again, like you said, Tommy, it's emotionally, because I think that watching that one moment and it's just without seeing anything, any buildup or anything to it, probably doesn't do the same thing. But when you've been openly rooting for someone like Tiger for years, and when you're watching the Masters over the weekend and you're really following Tiger, but then on Sunday where you are getting into the final five or six holes and you see that he's right there. It becomes where you're no longer casually, let's just see how Tiger... It's become, I want to see every single step that Tiger Woods takes.
Well,
and everything hangs on every shot, not only that he takes, but the other people that are in contention as well.
And I think there's also part of us as sports fans, we want to see history. This was historical. Not only his 15th major, but his fifth green jacket. This was historical.
Yeah.
What happened. A great comeback. There was just... so many layers to this delicious story. Yesterday. Just you wanted to consume and savor every bite of it.
Everything you could. Let's go back to the phone lines. Ben is in Fayetteville. What's going on, Ben?
Hey, good morning, guys. Good show this morning.
Appreciate it.
Personally, I think golf needed this. I think
absolutely.
They needed Tiger to win. Think about how many golf courses are closing. The new generation, the younger people, I don't want to blame them. But their attention spans like that of a goldfish.
Yep.
If it's not Snapchat or Instagram, or a 5-minute fix, they're not interested. How many young guys do you see that can go out onto a golf course for 3.5 hours, 4 hours with some sort of patience, not on their phone the whole time? Golf needed this, I'm retired. I'm retired from the Navy. I got no problem putting down my cell phone and going out and playing around a golf probably more times per week than most people, but I think I've earned it. And I think some of these young guys just need to take a step back and maybe stop and smell the roses. Watch this, see that golf. Golf courses are closing. You guys in Fort Smith just had a big one close, right?
Right.
Nobody ever thought that place was going to close. And it's the younger generation. You go to some of these country clubs, the club I'm a member at, I'm the youngest guy there by 20 years and I'm in my 40s, there's just golf is dying. It's kind of on life support and maybe this will help. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I really hope so. I personally think golf needed this. You know,
no, you're exactly right.
You guys have a good one.
You're exactly right.
We
mentioned this earlier in the show, and we had a comment from Robert on Facebook that the driving when Tiger's playing, the driving range near his house is more full. We had a text from someone earlier in the show that's spot on, that more people are interested. I tweeted right after the Masters completed yesterday. Where's my clubs? I'm ready to go play 18. More people will be on the driving range, will play 18 this week as a result of what they were energized by yesterday. Ben, you're spot on. Golf needed this at every level. Not necessarily the PGA Tour, not necessarily the majors. They're doing fine. You seen the prize money? Now, maybe the TV ratings needed a boost, but the health of professional golf has never been better. But you're exactly right. Local courses built, and built some more in the big Tiger boom 15 years ago. Now there's all these courses and nobody playing them, and maybe Tiger winning will bring some more people back. Golf shops are closing. Golf courses are closing. You mentioned country clubs closing. It's a problem not just here. It's a problem everywhere in the country. And all of that kind of coincides with Tiger's personal and health issues, yep, and his decline led to a decline in interest in golf across our country and probably around the world. If he had a surge here for 4 or 5 years, I'll predict that the game of golf has a surge to go along with it at every local level. The municipal track, the country clubs, all will see a rise in interest. More clubs will be sold. More golf balls will be sold. More apparel will be sold. Mock turtlenecks are back in style as a result of Tiger Woods.
As Tommy's showing you this morning.
That's right.
Rocking his red turtleneck there. But no, I agree with you. Because here's the thing. And I don't, you know, if I offend people, this is fine. But golf is not a cool sport. It's not.
But Tiger Woods made it cool.
Exactly. That's my point. Is that when as kids growing up, what do kids want to play? If they're into sports, what
football
do they want to play?
Or basketball.
Football, basketball.
Maybe baseball.
Yeah, maybe baseball. I mean, those are the sports. No, I've never seen a kid, and I'm sure there's some out there, but I've never seen a kid, at least when I was growing up, any of us around us, where we're just like, hey, man, let's go out and play football. Yeah, no, actually, let's play golf. Let's go play golf. It's like, okay, I could find other ways to spend 5 hours of my day. It was just Tiger made it cool. He made it cool to play golf. And then you saw just the way that when he was in his dominating force, like what he did for the game. Because, and Tommy, you probably know a little more about it. It seemed like before Tiger really arrived, like golf wasn't even on people's radar as much. And I don't know, again, maybe I'm wrong by that, because you would remember,
well, I mean,
it just seemed like it wasn't even a, people would watch the Masters and stuff, but it just seemed like, whatever.
It was just norm. It was just the norm. Then Tiger took it to a whole new level because there was so much uniqueness about him. We were waiting for the next Jack Nicklaus of the game, and he was that. And really what sports was waiting on, you had Michael Jordan, different sport, but he captivated everybody.
Everybody.
If the dunk contest was on and he was in it, you were watching.
He transcended.
And everyone thought, well, who's going to be the next basketball player to come along and be the next Michael Jordan? I heard a point made earlier this morning on Golic and Wingo. It wasn't that the next Michael Jordan came along and he was a basketball player. The next Michael Jordan came along and he was a golfer, and his name was Tiger Woods. And that's exactly right. He's the one guy. I put this point on Twitter yesterday. Nobody transcends sports. No athlete, no personality, no one does what Tiger Woods does. I mean, name me an athlete or a personality in sports that can get through to the American people, bring people to the TV, can move the needle the way Tiger does. They're in one. Nope. Football, basketball, baseball. Nobody.
Subscribe to Hit That Line on iTunes. You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Give is to Alex Collins straight up the middle, and Collins on the run. They won't catch him. Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house. Touchdown, Arkansas, 80 yards.
In case you're just joining us, obviously the topic of conversation has been Tiger Woods winning the Masters, which, you know, we're big fans of the Masters anyway. Last week we were talking about heading into it. I think the main storyline was, of course, you know, looking at who was going to win it and, you know, giving our predictions. But I think we both were on the same page, Tommy, just saying, hey, just let Tiger be in contention on Sunday. You know, right. Just even he doesn't have to win it. Just keep us interested. And then the fact when he did win it and, you know, he had that lead and you knew that what he had to do to be able to win it, just hanging on every single shot. I mean, that's all you could have asked for from the Masters.
We were talking there with Gary at the end of the hour about Koepka's putt not going in and how that affected the way Tiger was able to play the final hole and lay out to the right and chip up knowing he could get down in five and still win. Think about the weather. If the weather doesn't roll in the way it does and they play in twosomes versus playing with three going off the two tees, now Tiger's not in the final group all of a sudden. Now Molinari and Tony Finau are not having to deal with the Tiger effect, if you will, in the final pairing. Now all those people are in front of them, but maybe the 12th hole doesn't unfold the way it does. If you don't think that Tiger and the pressure of playing with Tiger didn't have its weight that they were carrying around the course, then you weren't paying close attention yesterday. I think Molinari did a great job for most of the round, but playing with Tiger certainly, I think, added to the pressure for everyone. The Tiger effect is still there. It's still real. And it was just amazing the way the 12th hole was still gobbling up some of the top contenders yesterday. What if Tiger had not been in the final pairing, and what if they were playing in pairs, and he was in the second-to-last group and not with those guys? Would it have been different? I mean, there's just so many things. It just kind of everything lined up the way it not had to be, just the way it was to kind of work out yesterday.
And it'll be interesting to see how it plays out for the rest of these tournaments and these majors, how much more of the Tiger effect will happen. Right. I mean, now that he's won one.
You know, I think guys still kind of buckle when he's at or near the lead. He's still the man. I think we saw that front and center yesterday.
Yeah.
There are a few that don't buckle. And I think Koepka's one of those guys. I'd like to see Koepka and Tiger in a duel down the stretch. And I don't know that my money wouldn't be on Brooks Koepka. I think that guy is stout. Not just physically, but mentally.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, there are not many on that tour right now that can mentally go toe-to-toe when Tiger's in the mix.
Yeah, and we'll use that and segue right into the best and the worst of the weekend.
It was the best of times. It was the worst of times.
We the best.
This is the worst.
It's time for the best and worst of the weekend.
All right, the best of the weekend. I mean, you got to start with it, Tiger Woods. I there's so many best of moments you could just have from this story within itself. But to me, of all the things that happened, of all the pomp and circumstance that came with Tiger Woods winning, the best moment for me was the reaction from the crowd. Because, listen, when you have sports and you have crowds involved at these sports, there's always a lot more emotion going into it when you feel the passion, when you feel the moment. Like, just because if you don't believe me, just think about to any of a sporting event where you went to where it was a raucous, crazy crowd. Think about a crazy game at Bud Walton Arena or at Razorback State, 2010 Alabama. You know, you think about, you remember the atmosphere, the roaring of the crowds and how loud it was. And usually those are the things that stand out to you more than anything. It could be the game, of course. It could be the players, of course. But what makes those events so special and stand out to you when you were actually there was the atmosphere that came along with it. And to see, because we weren't there, but to see the atmosphere, the crowd, and hearing them through the television when Tiger Woods was walking up 18, to hear him when he sank that putt, to hear them chant his name. That right there is what will send chills down your spine, because you felt that way too. And to see all those patrons that have been there, who had been waiting for a moment, who have been waiting on Tiger, and to see them rooting for him and have that type of feel to him after he wins it, you know, you felt it too. And so, to me, again, there's so many great moments, and I don't know if there's one greater than anything, but to me, that's what really set that moment over the edge, was to have the crowd reaction and then seeing Tiger's reaction to seeing his family and that weight being lifted off his shoulders. I mean, that 30 seconds or so was just absolutely magical, and if you love sports, it does not get any better than that.
Yeah, I mean, to me, the best moment of the weekend was him with the family when it was over. The embrace with the kids. And that just, as a father, to me as a father of two elementary age kids, that just it resonated and it hit home. And that to me was the best part of the weekend, was watching that. I mean, it was 6 hours. My butt did not leave the couch for 6 hours. How invested do we get in any other sporting event for 6 hours? Only the Masters can really make even the most... And I'm not a casual golf fan. I'm a little better than that. You're a casual at best golf fan?
Yeah.
You were glued for 6 hours. Only the Masters can do that to you. Only Tiger Woods can do that to you. Because even in a normal Masters year, you're probably not watching 6 hours. But Tiger just shows you what's possible in sports. How he captivates really sports fans and just the American public. It is unbelievable. Jordan could do that a little bit. I think this is even next level because we're in the social media age. It's a Muhammad Ali type deal almost. And maybe we're getting in the afterwash and prisoner of the moment a little bit here, but it was just amazing to me that everything was Tiger yesterday.
Yep. Everything.
And every headline this morning, yeah. Every talk show today will be Tiger.
Yeah. In fact, yesterday when I saw, I think it was Ty, that you had a tweet about the high school basketball event that you went and covered over the weekend. Like when I saw that during the time, I don't know if you had it scheduled or whatnot, but just during the time when the Masters was going on and Tiger was on his run, I almost saw him. He's like, that's weird because everyone, your timeline, everyone you follow was about Tiger. And what he was doing. Everybody, even people that I don't even think has tweeted in weeks,
right,
was talking about it. And I know that social media is not the know-all, end-all, be-all indication of where people's minds are at, but it certainly felt like everyone in the world was watching Tiger Woods.
Yeah, the one bummer about covering that AAU tournament this weekend is I did not get to watch Tiger win the Masters live. Which was kind of a bummer. I had a buddy's electricity actually go out at the 16th hole, so he didn't get to see it live. So wow. He was watching on his phone.
I would have fought somebody if that would have happened to me. I don't know what I would have done.
Because I'm seeing all you guys tweet about this stuff, and it's pretty easy to find out who won via social media. But yeah, it was kind of a bummer that I didn't get to experience it live.
That's why you got to download that app, man. Just got to check it out there. So, all right. My worst of the weekend also has to kind of deal with Tiger Woods. There's a lot of hot takes that come on, because this is a hot take Monday, after
right.
all. There's a lot of hot takes that come along with something like this in a monumentous moment like Tiger Woods winning the Masters. But the amount of takes that I saw, people poo-pooing on Tiger Woods, trying to take away from this moment because of his previous issues that he had off the course.
People wanting to put the mugshot next to the green jacket shot.
Yeah, well,
on Twitter.
Yeah,
if
they did it as a joke or whatever, okay, that's fine. I'm even taking it a step further. People like Sarah Spain, who went on to social media right in the middle of this moment, like right after it happened, when everyone's just so rejoiceful of this happening and the comeback story, going through his off-the-course issues and saying, yeah, okay, good for Tiger, but that doesn't take away what a piece of crap human being that he was and all these things. And I'm like, are you kidding me? You can't even enjoy this one moment. You can't let people enjoy this one moment. Not saying that what he did was right or you're condoning it. But you're talking about a guy that has fought back to get to this moment. Who's had to go through those issues. Who had to go through not only the injuries, but the stuff that he had dealing with his marriage and dealing with those skeletons in his closet. To come back from it. And this moment right here is when you choose to come out and say these things. I just feel like that's extremely... I can't even say on the radio, but that's trash. That's crap. And I think that's a really terrible way to view any moment, is when everyone's rejoiceful and everyone looks at this as such a great comeback story, but you use it as a way to bring up back the problems that he had and say, this is why you're not... It's almost like you're putting an asterisk next to his. You're
right.
Taken away from it. And I hate people like that. So that was the worst I saw of the weekend.
That's a good one. A lot of options here. Do you go with Arkansas baseball on Saturday, getting trounced 12-2? That was pretty bad from the weekend. Do you go with a security guard on Friday that nearly took Tiger out?
Man.
You could go with that as the security guard's hustling to keep the crowd back. He slips in, and like he's going into second base, but second base is Tiger's ankle. And nearly takes Tiger out. That was pretty bad, but funny.
Good.
I think
dream.
I'll go with Zach Johnson, though, on the 13th tee at Augusta on Friday, where he was taking a practice swing.
Poor guy.
But it looked like one of our, like, intended swings.
Yeah.
And he clips the ball and kind of shanks it off the tee marker there at Augusta, which is just, like a pine branch they've put out there that just looks so authentic to Augusta.
Of course.
And it just shanks and kind of rattles around like a pinball. And he looks up and just in sheer embarrassment.
Doink.
And it looks like something we would do, just in our normal game with total intent to swing. Of course, everybody's wondering, well, how is that not a penalty? Well, he didn't intend to swing. No intent, no stroke, But I don't know if that's the worst thing. But for a professional golfer, that's pretty bad.
It's almost like when he looked up and he like saw the crowd, it was just this awkward pause. Oh. And he just was almost like, what happened?
He
didn't know what happened.
Aren't you thankful if you're Zach Johnson that you're back there on the 13th, kind of secluded, away from the gallery? Hope nobody saw that. Oh, wait. There's a camera back there.
Can't hide from the Masters.
Don't you know he took some ribbing in the locker room? Don't you know he's going to be hearing about that forever? And for that to happen to you, not on the driving range. I mean, it's like that 10 cup moment where Kevin Costner's shanking them down the fair, down sideways down the driving range. Who hit that?
Yep.
It's just looking around. It was like one of those kind of moments.
Yeah.
There was no one to look around and say, who did that?
It's a great thing about golf is it's all individual achievement, but the second that you mess up, it's all about you too. Can't blame anybody else. Can't blame the caddy for that one. Now that was fantastic. That was pretty bad. Feel for him, but again.
I can relate.
Yes, we all can.
Relate.
And I'm probably going to relate a lot of times this summer when I'm going out playing.
Maybe this week.
Yeah.
We may have to get out and play this week.
Man, the weather's going to hold up. It's going to be a beautiful one.
It'll be like 80 today and like 80s, 70s, and 80s all week. Yeah, it's golf time, man.
Yeah, we're going to have to find a way to
golf time, baby.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Like the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast? Check out the Halftime Pod at hitthatline.com.